The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/KCCurrent.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Stephen St. John and Nate Picati with Jake Gutierrez. Today on the show, we'll talk to former Royals reliever Jamie Bluma in studio. We'll also talk to former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter in studio. Former Michigan State star Damon Bethea will talk about college basketball with us. And then Annie Rogers with her thoughts on the Royals as she covers the Royals for MLB.com. So there you go. Baseball, basketball, football, all of it wrapped into one nice show for you today. Lots of stuff to talk about, although, man, this happened after some people went to sleep, I'm sure. I think it was around 12:30 Kansas City time in Baltimore. The Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed. After a ship collided with it. And so rescue workers in Baltimore are searching for as many as seven people after the major bridge, a major bridge in the city's port was struck by a container ship around 1:30 a.m. Eastern. It's an active search and rescue situation. And the city's fire chief said the number of missing people could change. Two people have been saved from the water so far. And there's a video of it that's, I mean, shocking when you see it. 1.6-mile-long four-lane bridge. Video shows the collapse after it was hit by the vessel. And an official told CNN and other news outlets that conditions were unsafe for rescuers due to objects hanging from the structure, freezing conditions, and limited visibility. So, we will monitor that situation and let you know if there's any updates, but that's just awful. And the fact that it's all, you know, the video, be honest with you, it looks like a movie, right? It looks like something you'd see in a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I woke up to the news this morning. I didn't know about it until I woke up this morning. Pretty terrifying stuff, and I know they've declared a state of emergency and all that.
And sonar has detected some cars in the water, and so.
Man.
Right. Well, obviously, our hearts go out to the people of Baltimore and anyone affected by that. And now, as the sun's coming up, you see the actual destruction because it happened in the middle of the night. But we'll monitor that, and that's awful. Ooh. Well, move on and talk about sports. Get your minds off what's going on in the real world. Tonight is the NAIA Men's National Championship at Municipal Auditorium. It's 8:10 night. So if you want to get some tickets, go to NAIAHoops.com. And you can see Langston, Oklahoma, taking on Freed Hardeman out of Tennessee. And I'm going to head down there and represent Sports Radio 810 and deliver the game ball for the championship game tonight. And that game starts at 7 o'clock. So if you want to see some high-level championship basketball, it's available for you tonight downtown here at Municipal Auditorium. And also available for you right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. If you want to hear the game, We will have the game on our airwaves pregame at 6:45, and then first tip off at 7 o'clock. So there you go. Also, I want to mention that this came together yesterday, and I will be. How about this? I'll be out somewhere today from 11 until 1. Did you know that?
You got a busy day on your hands.
Oh, whatever. Don't patronize me. This is for a good cause, okay? I will be at Compass Capital from 11 until 1. And we're also promoting this during the show. Give hope this spring by donating blood for the American Red Cross today. You could donate blood from 11 until 4 at Compass Capital, located at 9800 Metcalf in Overland Park. I'll be there from 11 to 1. There's a huge need for blood in our community, and you can help. So you could sign up today by going to redcrossblood.org. Or calling 800-733-2767 and then search for zip code 66212 and select Compass Capital Drive. B&B Movie Theaters is giving away free movie vouchers to everyone who gives blood.
Well, that's great.
So if you like the movies, go out and get a movie voucher. And if that can entice you to come out and donate blood. And if you can't sign up in advance, just come on out today from 11 until 4. I'll be there from 11 until 1. At Compass Capital at 9800 Metcalf, and that's something good for the community. So,
you know, when you donate blood, you basically are saving up to 3 lives in that one act. So how many things more heroic could you do today than go donate blood? I mean, it's not very often you have the opportunity just to save somebody's life, let alone 3 times. And that's what you do when you donate blood. That's literally how important it is. Somebody's life's depending on it. So it's a great thing to do.
Why don't you go on and donate blood then?
I've donated blood several times, and I will continue to do so. It's
Jake, give up some of that blood.
You want Jake's blood? That's some good
blood. Plenty.
That's some good blood there.
Yeah. Now it is. That's some good blood.
I know my blood type.
What is it?
I'm just like my personality, be positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's yours?
I don't know. I don't know what my blood type is. Probably something I should know.
Yeah.
Mine'd probably be like O negative.
You probably got the universal blood type.
Well, coming out and you can donate blood. How about that?
Yeah, it's a great day. You get some movie passes while you're at it. Usually you get to eat some kind of snacks while you're there.
So come out and see me. I'll be there from 11 until 1, but the blood drive will be going on from 11 until 4 at Compass Capital, located at 9800 Metcalf. Again, you could sign up today by going to redcrossblood.org or call 800-733-2767. Search for zip code 66212 and select Compass Capital Drive. And if you can't sign up in advance, just stop by today from 11 until 4, Compass Capital, 9800 Metcalf, and give hope this spring by donating blood for the American Red Cross. Yes, I'll be there today and then at a municipal auditorium tonight. Also, Belinda Post will be out there.
There you go.
So
she's not delivering the game ball, though.
And Gabe. Are. No, she's going to be out at the... Why would she deliver the game ball to the blood drive?
Oh, I thought you meant at
makes
the
no
NAIA
sense. Sometimes you make no sense. There's no game ball for the American...
Well, maybe there should be.
...blood drive.
Maybe just, you know, consider it.
Mm-hmm. You heard some highlights there from the women's tournament last night that took center stage. A marathon on ESPN... That was fun to watch. The action that I could watch. I know that Kansas went up against USC, the one seed in their bracket, and Juju Watkins. And Kansas loses 73-55, and Juju Watkins dropped 28 along with 11 rebounds. You watch any of that?
Yeah, I watched most of it. Yeah, I had the Iowa game on one television, had the KU game on the other while they were both going on at the same time. And, KU put up a fight. You know, they hung in there. I think it's interesting. I saw some people talking on social media last night about whether or not the women's game should go to neutral sites for these first two rounds because how hard it is for teams to play in front of a crowd like that.
I think they should.
You think so?
If grow the game and you want it to be, yes, I do.
Yeah. And so I didn't want it to sound like griping on my part as a KU fan or something like that.
I think it's time.
On the one hand, you can say, well, look, you earn the one seed. You deserve home court advantage. And I know that they're trying to, they're trying to grow the game to the point where they have good crowds like that at a neutral site. You got to get to that point. But I think the game is, on the women's side, is growing to that point.
I think it's time.
Good crowds. Yeah. Because, man, I mean, I heard that clip from Caitlin Clark saying, oh, it's tough when you're at home. Because I'm thinking, is it? I think it's a lot easier when you got the whole crowd behind you than when you're the number one seed in on a neutral site and everybody in the gym's rooting against you when the other team's got a chance to pull off an upset. But I don't know. I've never been in that position.
But K-State lost at home to Colorado. So.
Yeah, it happens.
But if you really want this tournament to reach its full potential, you want to see the 8 or 9 seed every once in a while upset the one seed.
Have a chance, yeah.
And it's just that's a tough ask to not only go to have to play the one seed, but it just doesn't like imagine that if that was in the men's tournament.
Yeah, you had to go to Allen Fieldhouse to play Kansas as a one seed.
Well, not this year.
Not this year. Jerk. So,
well,
you
jerk. We're talking about this year.
Using it as an example.
Well, then use an example of a one seed this year. Okay.
You had to go to Houston.
There we go. That would be an incredibly tough ask.
Yes.
Right?
I think so.
Would you guys like that?
No.
No. I don't think so.
I like the neutral sites.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to bring that up. It's funny you brought that up. I think it's time. I don't know. I mean, look. That's an incredible advantage, but I mean, that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament, neutral sites.
And the beauty is some of the upsets, right?
And like here I am, right. Saying that, and I'm excited about the idea of some college football playoff games being in actual home stadiums.
So, well, that's because we're just excited about the idea of college football playoff games.
But I thought that last night because, let me tell you, hey, it was really interesting. The experience that I had with the tournament last night. Because last night we had our St. Pius X girls basketball banquet that featured a taco bar, by the way, and enchiladas and rice and beans and tortillas.
There's no greater buffet item than a taco bar.
Phil and Richie were fired up, and then at one point they made the announcement, like, hey, we have too much food, so please. Go for seconds, Phil just quietly got up from the table and walked over,
That's like me being told, hey, we need to fill some airtime. We need you to talk a little bit more.
I mean, they had hard shell, soft shell, chicken enchiladas, rice, beans, cheese dip, chips, plenty of salsa. I mean, it is just a full Mexican buffet. It was great. And then they go through and they talk, about the C team and the JV team and the varsity team. And there were a couple of people sitting at our table. You're there for your kids. You're there to celebrate the season. But there was some fidgeting going around. We're all having a good time, right? But it got to be around 7, and I heard one mom say, we've got some basketball to watch. You got to get this thing going. And you have to understand, where we're at. We're there with, God, how many? I don't know, 35 high school girls basketball players,
yeah,
along with all their parents and families and the coaches and everything. So if there, you're ever going to be in a room that's fired up to watch Caitlin Clark and then Juju Watkins, that's the room you're in, you know? Yeah. And so then they put a TV on, which may have been a mistake, like during the banquet when they're doing stuff off to the side and every now and again, you know, whatever.
Somebody's up giving a
right,
speech.
Yeah, so, yeah. But, and so then I, you know, I knew one of the moms wanted to keep a close eye on the Iowa game, so I put it on my phone, we're watching it. And even like the head coach, Coach Krista, a couple of times, Coach Krista acknowledged it. Like, hey, I know everyone's, you know, just let me know if, you know, because the TV is behind. Just let me know if Caitlin Clark gets a three or anything. So it's all good. We're good. I can tell. So that was like, that was a lot of fun because you're seeing so many young girls just fired up. And so excited, and you know, talking about Caitlin Clark and Juju Watkins, and you know, and just the whole, all of it, right? And so, and a bunch of dads, because guess what, dads are gonna, you know, or moms are gonna grab their daughters and sit there and you know, try to coach while watching the game. And the daughters will say, "Dad, just let me watch the game. At least you know my experience." Mm-hmm. I know. But then we make it home to watch at least the fourth quarter of the Iowa-West Virginia game. And she hasn't won a championship yet, Caitlin Clark, but she's had a wild amount of success, and she's everywhere. I mean, she's on Hy-Vee commercials now. She's mm-hmm. everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
She's Mahomes-ing it up, right? Especially around here. And so I feel like, and maybe it's already happened, but I really felt like on social media, it happened last night. It's one of them deals that we've talked about with Mahomes and other athletes. You know, you hang around long enough, then you become the villain.
Yeah.
People were mad last night about Iowa and Caitlin Clark. I mean, like, for newbies that don't really watch the women's room, why are they playing at home? Why? How come they're not? You know, when people try, well, this is the format. This is ridiculous. You know.
Yeah.
And so then they're talking. I mean, was it Dan Wetzel? Because everyone's watching this, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's tuning in. Because like what else, like if you're a sports fan, what like, first of all, what else are you going to watch last night? And second of all, it speaks to that. She's pretty much must-watch TV. And if you just don't, that's I understand, whatever. But if you're just one of these sticks in the mud, I'm not watching women's match, well, then you're missing some tremendous drama and some tremendous action and just a generational player. And like, you know, like last night, Paige Beckers with UConn. And then you get to watch Caitlin Clark, and then you get to watch Juju Watkins. I mean, his greatness was on display.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, there were some mad people about the disparity in free throws. You guys know all about that when you hear about that, right? When Kansas plays at home, people get mad, start making accusations. I think Dan Wetzel's pretty. I mean, I think he's a pretty reasonable journalist, but he was all fired up. Don't tell me he deleted his tweets. Oh, did he? Wow. Well, he was tweeting all kinds of crap out last night, and it's gone.
Yeah, I'm looking through his timeline right now. I'm like, what?
It's gone.
It must have been spicy. Now
like
I want to know.
Yeah, it was like, you know,
had some serious.
This is ridiculous. This is a travesty. And no, people were went in on him. Like, are you even watching the game? Because, you know, they were accusing him of just looking at the box score and not watching how the game was flowing.
30 free throws to 5.
Right.
8-on-5 up in Iowa City.
Oh, wow. I can't believe he deleted him. That's surprising. He must have taken so much crap from people that he just... Doesn't that make it worse, though? Mm. I mean, you go out there with...
Sometimes.
You go out there with a hot take. I mean, you... I don't know. Well, he was one of the ones that stood out to me. I guess he took enough crap about it. But yeah, people were losing their minds over the fact that Iowa attempted, it is pretty funny to look at it, 30 free throws, and West Virginia attempted 5. And as far as personal fouls, West Virginia 27, Iowa 11. That's a pretty big gap. But, I mean, West Virginia was playing a very physical style of basketball, but still, that's a lot.
It's a big disparity. I thought Clark got a little superstar treatment. She kind of drives into the basket, creating a lot of contact on her own, and then she shoots. And I'm like, what's the defender supposed to do? She keeps backing up, and then
And then you have that one of her, shut the F up,
yeah.
Telling someone
I was wondering who she was yelling that at, but people on Twitter got all wound up about that too.
That's what I mean, and so it was almost like. I watched last night her become the villain on social media, and then someone else pointed out, look, if you ever want the WNBA to take the next step and be somewhat popular, then you don't just need good players. You need someone to be a villain that people are going to root against.
Yeah.
And said she'll walk on water in Indiana because that's where she's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll be one of the most popular athletes in Indiana. But she could end up being that player that
everybody else hates.
Complains to the refs a little bit too much if you don't like her, but we'll also cut your heart out and drop 33 on you and
talk a little trash in the process.
And talk a lot of trash in the process.
Yeah,
tell the crowd to shut the F up. That's one of the things that makes sports so much fun. Not just rooting for someone, but rooting against someone. That's part of it.
Oh, there's a reason the most famous wrestlers are the heels, right?
That is the whole basis for how Floyd Mayweather became Money Mayweather.
Yeah.
And became the biggest pay-per-view draw of his generation. Not because he was such a great fighter, and he was a great fighter.
Right.
But for a long time, early in his career, he was a great fighter that didn't have a great personality, and not a whole bunch of people cared to watch, except for hardcore boxing fans that knew he was one of the best pure boxers in the sport.
Leave me alone, I'll make it rain all day long. My name is Floyd, my name is Floyd, my name is Money Mayweather.
And then he went and did a couple of gigs with the WWE and appeared at WrestleMania. And guess what? He became Money Mayweather. And that wasn't a coincidence. He got training from the best on how to be a heel, on how to work the mic, on how to turn the whole house against you. Right?
And that can be a good thing.
And for him, it was.
Yep.
For him, it was. Because I get to speak for myself and for a lot of people that I talked to back then, because if you remember, I used to host watch parties for every Floyd Mayweather fight down at the A-10 zone on the plaza or out here in Overland Park. And it got to the point where the A-10 on the plaza, there would be a line out the door and it would be one in, one out. And by the time it got to like 10 o'clock around the main event, you couldn't get in, and people were furious that they couldn't get in. And that was a giant location down at the A-10 zone. And most of the people were there hoping to see him get beat.
And they never did. Yeah.
And they were really excited. Now, there was a good group of that loved Mayweather, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But there was also, it was split, probably 60-40. There was a good amount of people there. I got to be watching when he finally loses.
I feel like it's more than 60-40.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
20, maybe,
you know, like, you don't hear from the ones that are there for you, you know?
Yeah.
But right. there'd be...
Oh, I remember those times,
to break up some stuff there, you know?
I remember.
But...
Yeah.
And it's not bad. But, I mean, now there's some people that are choosing now to root against her. And they were mad last night.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few different factions that seem to want to root against her. I think that it's interesting. It's like people have Caitlin Clark fatigue. You know, just like you said, anytime you become a big enough star, all of a sudden people turn against you.
See, I feel like Jake would like, Jake, look at this. Yeah. Yelling at people.
Like, who's she yelling at? Because she's in her home.
What do you see
stadium.
There, Jake?
She's fiery.
What do you see she's saying? Shut the...
Yeah, this is a foul language. Can't like, use
all right.
The radio.
Like, all right. She's telling somebody to shut.
See, I'm watching, I'm like, all right, let's go. Shut up, everyone.
But, you know, like, I saw somebody make the point, like you said, about, you know, the WNBA can really use a villain. And some people that are in the WNBA got a hold of that and said, we already have a bunch of villains. There's a pushback within the women's basketball world that are mad that she's getting all this attention. Yeah. And
a bunch of villains and the average fan have no idea who they are.
Right. And I think there's a bitterness within her own women's basketball community. I mean, Kim Mulkey's taking shots at her. Dawn Staley's taking shots at her.
Well, she's like, making more money than most women
right.
in the WNBA.
And so there's,
they're getting more attention.
Yeah, that's my point, is there's haters. There's haters on the outside. There's haters in her group. And she's kind of like middle fingered everybody. Go ahead and hate. I'm going to keep carving your heart out. And that's what makes for a good villain, right? Somebody that responds like, yeah, well, F me, F you.
Right now, you know? And it's crazy for us to think about it. One of the biggest villains right now in the world of sports is Patrick Mahomes.
Isn't that wild?
Outside of this area, he's a supervillain.
The funny thing is, he didn't do anything like it's other than just beat everybody, but he's still a villain because he beats everybody,
right.
You know, and they're tired of it.
Yeah, a little trash talk, a little sprinkle here and there.
A little bit.
He'll remind you, he'll let you know.
Yeah.
And he should.
He woke up the wrong MF-er.
Yeah, he'll let you know about it.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, you were talking about how you were in a situation where, you know, you're with a lot of kids that play girls or women's basketball. I was watching at home last night. My daughter doesn't even play basketball, but she watched with me. But I was texting with some of my buddies who don't have daughters that are just big basketball fans, and they were watching the games last night. They were into the games. They were texting back and forth about the games. And I just think that's another indicator of where it's growing in popularity. It's not just the girl dads that are interested in Caitlin Clark. It's, you know, it's everybody. And I think that's pretty awesome, too. And hey, man, by the way, we mentioned her yesterday. I know it was in a losing effort and everything, but you know, for a local kid, Samaya Nichols goes out for 22 points at the number one seed in her freshman year. That was pretty cool too.
Dustin just tweeted in, was it Dan Wolken instead of Dan Wetzel? It wasn't Dan Wolken because Dan Wolken's outraged by everything. And so that would not have stood out to me, but maybe it was, who knows? Dan Wolken is. He's the worst. He is just, and I follow him just to get irritated. He is the worst. This guy bitches and complains about everything. And to the point, Dustin, you're right. Here's his tweet. This is absurd. Absolutely infuriating. I feel for the West Virginia team. They played a better game than Iowa, and they're not going to get rewarded at all. Hope these refs don't advance. Maybe it was Dan Wolken. That's what he's outraged about something every day.
Yeah.
That is staying out to people. But thank you, Dustin, for pointing that out. But you know, that's a sampling of, now that's the extreme. But good God, man. That was fun watching last night, though, let me tell you. And look, West Virginia gave them all they wanted. That game was tied with a few minutes left, so. And now they move on, unfortunately, not against K-State, but against Colorado. But I'll tell you this. If we get this rematch in the Elite Eight between Iowa and LSU, and there's no guarantee of that, but if we do, that might be the night that Twitter or X melts down.
Oh, boy.
That might be the night it's over for everybody. I don't know that X or Twitter will be able to handle that. Because will the article have come out yet about Mulkey?
It's supposed to come out this week.
I don't know. Like just the dynamics of the rematch of the national championship game, Kim Mulkey, and the article by Kent Babb and Angel Reese and the rivalry with Caitlin Clark and all that. Good God, let's cross our fingers and hope that happens. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to limit his comments on the show. But I can tell you there will be very soon a return of Hot Mike with SSJ. had to limit my podcasts because of the issues with my vocal cords. Oh, insert joke here. But I think we're days, at least within a week, days away from a podcast with Jake on the topic of P. Diddy.
Oh, boy.
And what's happening right
now.
Oh,
boy.
It's all distracting.
Be very careful with what you say. Would you like to comment? Because I could tell you that the St. John boys are all wrapped up in this, and Richie yelled at me, and it hurt my feelings. He raised his voice at me.
Oh, boy.
In the parking lot last night, and he... This is my son also. You must understand. And he said... I told you he killed... I told you he killed B.I.G.
That's
I told
right.
you he killed Biggie.
That's right.
He was behind it all, see?
He was. I agree.
We're going to find out.
That's right.
Will you
Richard?
Settle down.
You're right.
And then I said, well, who was the one that benefited the most?
Absolutely. He's a bad dude.
Losing Christopher Wallace.
No pun intended.
Because Richie's maintained this for years.
Well.
And now he says he somehow this has proven him right as Homeland Security was raiding the two mansions of P. Diddy as he escaped the country.
Some bad.
Dude.
Bad allegation.
Are you watching this? Are you with this whole thing?
I haven't read up on all of it.
I mean, you've been the biggest P. Diddy fan that I know, and now you just kind of left here.
I don't know that that's true. I did like some of the music that they that the Bad Boy Records put out, but he was never.
These are not new allegations.
My favorite.
By the way.
There's been a lot of rumblings.
I mean, Cat Williams was talking about how
boy. Cat Williams is looking like the Nostradamus of 2024.
He knows what's up.
That might be the single greatest episode of any podcast or whatever.
Oh, man.
When Shannon Sharp had Cat Williams.
And Shannon Sharp's like a couple times like, well, I don't even know what to say to that. Why don't we have another drink? Man, Cat Williams. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll save my comments for your podcast, but it's...
I thought of you when this is all happening.
Well... I don't know if that's good or bad.
No, you were somewhere wrapped up in all this.
Yeah, I was locked in.
So
bad, dude, man. If look, we're all innocent until proven guilty, right? Allegedly.
Yes,
that's the idea.
But these things have been out there for a long time.
Yeah,
I mean, like when I saw this happening yesterday, it's like, oh yeah, it's about right. Sure. Seems about right. What took so long? So, it is, I don't think it's going to end well for Diddy.
Oh, you don't think him leaving the country while the houses are being raided by...
Yeah, I mean, that's what usually innocent people do. Oh, they're coming after me? Gotta go!
Yeah.
Not like, hey, I'm innocent.
So, do they know where he is now?
I don't know.
Probably.
I wonder how hard it'll be to find him. You would
probably
think they
on
could
an
find
island.
Him.
I've heard Antigua, Barbados. I mean, I don't know. A lot of stories going on right now.
Man.
So.
Mo money, mo problems.
Well.
Unnecessary, I think. That line was unnecessary. You know? So. Jesus. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Bluma can't get here. There he is, finally. Come on.
Oh, man.
Change the course of the show. Unless you want to talk about P. Diddy or anything else.
Get off
your chest. Yeah. Yeah. You're the every guest we have on. P. Diddy, your thoughts. Elaborate. What do you think? So
I got to ask Bluma about a country music singer I hung out with this past weekend. See if they're friends.
Oh, Jesus.
Or see if he knows them.
What's his name?
Chase Rice.
Former linebacker at North Carolina.
Yeah. Yep. We're buddies now.
Well, you're hanging out with Chase Rice.
You brought it up, so go ahead and finish the story.
I've been listening to his music because I met him and I stupidly had no idea who he was. We were hanging out. Where are you from? Nashville. Oh, what brings you to town? Anyway.
What brought him to town?
Oh, he's hanging out at, you know, at the ranch. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't act like you don't want to talk about it, or you wouldn't have brought it up.
Yeah, no, it was funny. I mean,
you would
have
brought
just,
it up in a commercial break. You brought it up on the air.
Well,
Jake, he brought it up on the air, so he wants to tell. Yeah. So
brag
about
dropping here, man. I was because I was like, so I texted my wife. She's a big country fan. I said, you know this guy? She said, oh yeah, he's had some big hits.
He has. He's a country star.
Yeah,
I know Rashee Rice.
Very nice guy. Yeah. He I don't know if he's. I don't think he's related to Rashee Rice. But
how do you know?
I don't.
Did you at least ask? Don't assume, buddy.
There's a lot of Rices out there. I didn't ask if he was related to Jerry Rice either.
Don't assume. That's not relevant.
I didn't ask.
Rashee Rice is with the Chiefs now. Yeah. I mean, it's. Come on, dude.
I meant to ask him if he knew Greg Holland, though, because they're both from Asheville, I believe.
Oh, damn it, Bluma! I met somebody that knows you, too, and I can't remember his name. Bluma, he used to work with you, and he owns the Crave Taco Truck. I think he used to work with you at 68 Inside Sports. Man. Name is gone.
We're just both thinking about
name is gone
Bluma
from my mind. Well, I was working in my remote at Midwest Tinting. Crave Taco Truck was delicious, and... And now I can't remember his name. So that's right. I'm a moron. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. There ain't nobody around. Let your long hair get to falling down. And let your red lips leave their mark all over mine. If you want her, then we're gonna, girl. I hope you're gonna want her tonight. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nick Cucati with Jake Gutierrez. Jake's a popular guy on social media last night.
Oh, yeah. I think maybe 10 people saw those tweets.
I saw them.
Thanks to Nate.
Huh. Man, you guys can't stay out of the controversy, can you?
I'll sit on this one myself. I won't drag Nate into it.
No, you don't have to. Someone else did.
Yeah.
Hey, I call it like it is.
I didn't call anybody a dumbass yesterday, for the record.
I did.
I'll call myself a dumbass, and that's fine.
Do you have any comments then?
No.
Why do you have to inject yourself in every controversy?
I don't feel like I did, but uh-huh. I would rather not. I would rather be. What's the opposite of injected? Rejected?
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Dejected?
Unjected?
Unjected? Right. I have a tough enough time answering for the dumb stuff I say and do. I don't need to. And I'm not saying what you said was dumb, Jake. I'm just saying I don't need to answer
sure
for things
like
that
it.
You say.
No one's asking you to.
Right. And I love you, buddy. And I don't care.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a big boy.
You're a man.
Handle myself.
So Otani didn't take questions, but you spoke to the media. That clear everything up now?
I was just pulling up some sound from Otani.
Yeah, I think it's all good. No
good?
Further questions.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah. Someone stole $4.5 million from me.
That's it?
Yeah, 12-minute press conference, which only consisted of Otani talking through a new interpreter, Will Ireton. No questions from the 70 reporters in attendance.
Yeah, no need.
Otani said, I've never bet on baseball or any other sports or asked someone to do it on my behalf. I've never asked a bookmaker to do it on my behalf. Up until a few days ago, I didn't know this was happening. Hmm. In conclusion, he's been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
So they prosecuting him?
I don't know.
Being investigated. It's a federal investigation now.
Right.
It's a bad look.
Is it?
I think so. Anytime federal government's investigating you, it's not a good thing.
I tell you what is also a bad look. Have you read the story about Forum Mizzou star.
Oh,
we've been talking about Porter Jonte? Brothers, Jonte Porter.
I just was reading it as I was going to ask you about
that. Man, oh, man. By the look on Nate's face, he has no idea what I'm talking about.
Not good.
Just say it if you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
Say it. You don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't look it up. Let me read this to you.
Betting. Okay. Some prop
okay. Uh-oh.
Toronto Raptors forward Jonte Porter is under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months, multiple sources told ESPN on Monday. At issue are prop bets involving Porter from games on January 26th and March 20th. An NBA spokesman told ESPN the league's looking into it.
What dates?
In the game on January 26th against the Clippers, there was increased betting interest on the under for Porter props, which for the night were set around 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.5 assists. There was also an over-under for Porter's made three-pointers, which was at 0.5. That evening, Porter played just 4 minutes before leaving the game because of what the Raptors said was an aggravation of an eye injury. Oops. He had suffered 4 days earlier against the Grizzlies.
Ow.
Porter did not score against the Clippers, but he had 3 rebounds and 1 assist. He did not attempt a three, meaning the under hit on all the props. The next day, as part of a daily report to users on betting results, DraftKings Sportsbook stated that the under on Porter's three-pointers was the biggest money winner for bettors of any NBA player props from games that evening. He played 19 minutes 2 days later and scored 12 points with 7 rebounds and 3 assists. Then on March 20th against the Kings, he played just 3 minutes before exiting because of what the Raptors said was an illness and did not return. He did not score after attempting 1 shot and had 2 rebounds. Sportsbooks had his over-under set at around 7.5 points and 5.5 rebounds. The next day, DraftKings Sportsbook reported in a media release that Porter's prop bets were the number one moneymaker from the night in the NBA.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slice.
At least one other U.S. sportsbook detected unusual betting interest on the Porter props in the games in question. A sportsbook industry source told ESPN that multiple betting accounts attempted to bet large amounts, upward of $10,000 and $20,000, on Porter unders in the January game against the Clippers.
How much?
$10,000 and $20,000. Betting limits on NBA player props vary by sportsbook and customer, but are typically around $1,000 to $2,000. The source said people were trying to do whatever they could to bet Jonte Porter props. And then just a few days ago, the same thing. We had a bunch of people trying to bet the bet under for more.
I'm looking at video clips of him banking in a three-pointer.
Yes.
And looking like, oh, no.
Yeah, so people have unearthed this clip of him firing up a three off the glass, and it looked like he was somewhat concerned that he hit the three. So,
I mean, this stuff is bound to happen. I mean, this is,
I mean,
when you invite gambling into every facet of the game, these things are going to happen.
Well, this is what the NBA is probably glad that it's Jonte Porter and not like Luka Doncic or, you know, one of their stars. Baseball, this is the biggest star.
He said he didn't do it, Jake.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah, all right.
It wasn't him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If someone's stealing any money from you, you know about it, let alone $4.5 million over time.
We'll take a break back after this on WHB.